Welcome, everyone. You know, advanced class is really our window on the world because we get to look at so many places when we study advanced, don't we, Lois?
We sure do, and we get to study places that some of us hardly know a thing about, Doris.
But it would be fun to go there, but we can at least learn about them
exactly.
If we don't go there, right?
And I figure if we can't go there, we can learn about the place, and we can also learn about their food and make it and eat it. And then we kind of feel like we've been there.
Well, that's a good idea. We can be armchair travelers at home traveling. So, Lois, we're glad you're with us today.
Thank you.
And then we also have one of our newer teachers with us. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Albert Ho, and I'm happy to be here.
So, Albert, you like to be on the radio. I know you've been on several radio broadcasts on different stations. You really like media work, don't you?
I do. I feel like it's a way to reach out to the audience in a very intimate way and be their friends.
Would you like to be a reporter and go down and report on Antarctica someday?
Oh, no. I don't think I'm suited for it. After reading about it, and everyone else will soon find out, it is a very harsh place.
But it would be kind of fun to go on a boat trip down there. What do you think?
I would like to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would want to do it when I'm really much older in age, but I really think I would find it interesting. And I think when we learn some more about this article today, maybe some of our readers will want to join in.
Well, let's think about it anyway, because it's nice to know about the different continents. And this is one of the continents. And it said it's pristine and powerful. What does pristine actually mean?
Pristine means to be something that is usually pure in state, maybe not untouched.
More, yeah. Mm-hmm. And powerful means that there's some kind of powerful forces. I think it's a force of nature down there, don't you think?
I think so, and I think it's a powerful climate. You can't stand up against it.
It's very cold, isn't it? And this is an eye-opening journey to the white continent. What is an eye-opening experience?
Well, eye-opening means you might not know anything about it, and all of a sudden you're going to have your eyes wide open, and you're probably going to have your mouth open going, oh!
It's going to be a very informative article,
revelation.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. It really is. And so we're going to journey to the white continent.
And I want to tell people that doesn't mean there's a whole bunch of white people living there. It means what we're going to find out about the weather there.
Well, you know why they call it the white continent? Because it's covered with snow. Now, how big is the continent there?
Well, this is interesting, Doris, because you did some research here, and I find it incredible that it's almost twice the size of Australia. Our mm-hmm. listeners can relate to that.
That's pretty big. Yeah.
And also that about 98% of Antarctica is covered by ice.
98%. No wonder they call it the white continent.
Exactly.
Right?
And it averages 1.9 kilometers or 1.2 miles in thickness, which extends to
can you
all
imagine?
But the northernmost reaches of the Antarctica Peninsula.
So if we need water, we'll just have to get some of the ice from there.
Yeah,
tow some of the ice around the world, right?
Got to protect that.
That's
part
very
of the world
interesting,
too.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is one of the continents. Now, actually, let's have a little geography lesson as we start. How many continents are there, Albert?
Ooh, it depends on who you ask.
That's right.
It can range from 5 to 7, or even more.
Well, I think it's usually, we usually say there's 7.
Yes, usually.
Yes, and then we say they are what, Asia?
Mm-hmm.
Africa, North America,
South America,
Europe,
Australia, Antarctica.
That's seven.
Now,
the reason they sometimes even say 6 is because they put Europe and Asia together because there's no big ocean between those. It's big. But sometimes they call that Eurasia. But sometimes they even call the Americas one because they're kind of joined there a little bit. If you look at a map and you can see North and South America. But usually we consider they're different continents.
Right. In teaching any mm-hmm. class I ever took, they said 7 continents. I don't think they've probably changed that.
That's what most people say, right. But anyway, however you look at it, these are areas of lands in the middle of these big oceans. Well, since we're on geography, how many oceans are they? Do you know?
Oh. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5 oceans, and what's the name of those?
We have Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, Arctic Ocean, Indian Ocean, and Antarctica Ocean.
So there is an Antarctica Ocean, too.
Yes. Yes.
So that's one of the five oceans, seven continents. That's a good geography lesson.
Yeah, I've been to three of them. My husband's been to four of them. So,
How many have you been to then? You're kind of young, Albert, so you haven't been to so many.
I want to say only two.
Okay, well, that'll change.
You've been to the Atlantic and the Pacific?
That is correct.
You haven't been to the Indian Ocean yet?
Not yet, unfortunately.
And I don't know if you'll ever get to the Arctic or Antarctic because it's kind of far away.
It is.
You never know your future jobs.
You never can tell what you're going
to
do.
Doris might send me to Antarctica.
Well, you know, sometimes if you want to go a quick way to go over to Europe and you're leaving from the West Coast, they sometimes fly over.
Exactly.
My husband does that
all the time.
It's faster to go that way
and
than around.
Yes, mm-hmm. And see, the reason aviation wants to do it is because it saves aviation gas or fuel.
It does, because
and that's
it's shorter.
The way they want to do
yeah.
it.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Yeah, and you go from Seattle, you go over to Denmark.
You go over the North Pole.
Over the North Pole, and it's so fast, instead of going around the big world, see?
Probably a much safer as well.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of fun. Yeah. I've been that way across that one.
Yeah, that's the way my
husband does. But that's as close as I'll get to the Arctic there. But anyway, our lesson today then is on page 40, and we're going to have this eye-opening journey. So are you ready for the journey, everybody?
Ready, let's take off.
Let's take off and let's go ahead and tell people we're going to go on a trip to Antarctica. So let's read about it first in the first column.
Pristine and powerful Antarctica, an eye-opening journey to the White Continent. Go ahead, tell people you're traveling to Antarctica and wait for the responses. Wait, what? Did you say Antarctica? Be sure to get a selfie with a polar bear, okay? And perhaps most frequently, why? Before this long overdue vacation, I didn't really have an answer. Why take three planes that deposit you in a formal penal colony? Why board a ship that will then cross some of the world's most treacherous waters? It was only after my two adult sons, Carl and Christian, and I had been to this place, at once harsh yet fragile, bleak yet majestic, complex yet simple, that we knew why.
Okay, thank you, Albert, for reading the beginning of the article today. So, if you would say to somebody, Lois, well, I'm going to be going to Antarctica next week, what do you think they would say?
Well, first, I think, Doris, they probably didn't listen very well to what I said. They probably thought I said the Arctic, okay, instead of Antarctica. And like this article says, they probably say, oh, do you think you'll see some polar bears? Mm-hmm. So they've got the world turned upside down.
Antarctica and Arctica often get confused.
Exactly. They often get confused, but they couldn't be further apart.
One's top of the world and one's the bottom, I guess.
Exactly.
However you say it.
Yeah.
Well, where are the polar bears? Are they in the Antarctica?
No, polar bears are actually not there. You can find them before you get to the Arctic and in the Arctic, and there's lots of them in my country, Canada.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And I have seen them in the wild.
But we're not going to go up there. We're going to Antarctica today.
That's right, and I love this article.
Well, let's start in by talking about it a little bit. So you have to get ready and not only take a selfie, not of a polar bear, but maybe a penguin.
Yes.
That would be fun. Penguins are always fun.
They are adorable.
They are so cute.
They
look
movies.
Like they're dressed up, you know,
exactly.
All the time.
So formal.
Yeah, they look like they have tuxedos on,
yeah.
Right?
They're ready for a wedding.
That's right. I've written a lot of children's movies in the last 10 years with penguins
all
in
about
them.
Penguins.
And everybody's appreciated them.
Well, so they said, why are you going there? And this person says, well, I needed a vacation. It was overdue. I kept putting it off, and I didn't know where to go. Why would you go down to that place? Now, how do you get there? It says you have to take three planes to get there.
That's right. Not one, not two, but three planes. And then you have to transfer onto a ship that would take you across some of the world's most treacherous waters.
And I think it's funny when they say you will be deposited in a former penal colony. It sounds like they're going to leave you there, but folks, they aren't, and it's a former penal colony.
What is a penal colony?
A penal colony is where, in this case, the British throne or the British Empire would put prisoners.
Did they really put them down there in Antarctica?
Yes, they did, way down there.
Oh, my goodness.
What most of the world knows now is the Falklands, right?
Yeah.
Near.
But the Falklands is not in Antarctica, is it?
No, it's north of Antarctica.
Right.
Right, and it's right off the coast of the southern part of Argentina.
Well, I don't know about being in a penal colony, but I know it would be hard to escape from down there, wouldn't it? Right? But anyway, why would you go down there? Why would you take a ship and cross one of the world's most treacherous or dangerous waters? Why would you do that?
Well, the author himself didn't even know the reason until he got there. He went with two of his sons, and he found this place to be fragile yet harsh, and also bleak yet majestic, complex yet simple. I guess we will find out very soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, he says, my two adult sons, Carl and Christian, and I, after they'd been there, so he went with Carl and his son, Christian. That's his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And after they went there, they said, wow, now I know why people go there.
You said
the same thing.
And I noticed, you know, our reader says his two adult sons, I can see why they're adults going down there. You would not want to take children down on this treacherous journey.
You might want to see the penguins. Come on, kids like penguins. But this is what they call a once-in-a-lifetime journey. Isn't that interesting? Once in a lifetime. So let's find out more about this place.
A once-in-a-lifetime journey. It's not easy getting to Yishua, the Argentine town at the southernmost tip of South America. From Los Angeles International Airport, it means about 18 hours in the air, unless you stop in Buenos Aires, before you reach its embarkation point for about 90% of all trips to Antarctica. We boarded the Explorer, a National Geographic vessel that can carry 148 passengers in its 81 cabins. The Explorer, an ice-rated ship whose steel hull can cut through the frozen stuff, is small enough to get into bays and inlets, so we could easily go ashore, but large enough to withstand the tempestuous Drake Passage. The Explorer is equipped with about a dozen 10-person Zodiacs and 36 two-person kayaks, key to getting us close enough to let the White Continent work its magic. Over the next 7 days, our expedition took us to Half Moon Island in the South Shetland Islands, then Brown Bluff, Sevilla Cove, Enterprise and Danko Islands, through the Lemaire Channel and Gerlick Strait, to Booth and Detail Islands, and finally Port Lockroy, the British outpost with 3 year-round staffers. Each morning we would rise by 7, eat breakfast, then head for the Zodiacs or kayaks for the first of two outings.
Well, it certainly would be a once-in-a-lifetime journey. I doubt if you'd ever go there more than once.
Right, and we'll find out maybe a little later why you would only do it once when we come a little further in our article. It is an adventure, and it comes with a cost.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's an adventure to try to read all the names here. I'll tell you, you don't have to remember all these names, at least look at them, but just learn some of the other words, like the word like embarkation point. What is an embarkation point?
Well, an embarkation is the act, process, or instance of getting aboard a ship or airplane.
Where you take off from.
Yeah, and sometimes they'll even say that on a train.
Where you embark from is where you leave from, right?
That's right.
So it's not easy to get there. You have to go down to Argentina. Now, Argentina is at the very tip down there of
South America. Yeah.
So you can go that way. Or if you wanted to go over from, let's see, Oceania, over that way, you could go down from New Zealand and go down, too. That's another way to go down.
That's right.
So those are the two places that most people go from, aren't they?
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting. This town or city, Yishua, is quite an uncommon name. And
sounds like an Eskimo name.
Yeah, or it might be an Aboriginal name from that part of the world.
Sure.
I'm not sure, Doris.
I think so, yeah.
And it's interesting how it really is at the southernmost tip of South America. I don't think I've ever really noticed that name of this location till I studied this map.
Well, that's true. And, you know, from Los Angeles Airport, first, if you want to go from Asia, you have to go to Los Angeles, which takes you about 12 hours. Then you get on another plane, take another 18 hours. That's a long trip, isn't it?
It sure
is. That's just to get down to where you start or embark from, and then you have to go again. So it's a long trip. You better have a long vacation when you go there, right?
That's right.
But you could stop at some place along the way and so forth. But the embarkation, or the place that you leave from when you embark, you start out from, it says that's about 90% of all the trips mm-hmm. go from that place. Mm-hmm. So that's the most popular way to go if you want to go to Antarctica.
Right. And I would imagine that a lot of the travelers are actually coming from North America that would be coming straight south mm-hmm. to this location in South America.
That's true, because people from Asia will sometimes go down to New Zealand because you're already in Asia and go down to see the penguins from the southern part of New Zealand. But if you're in America, North America, you'd probably mm-hmm. do this, wouldn't you? So it says that 90% of all the trips to Antarctica go from there. So they went on this ship called the Explorer. That certainly sounds like a National Geographic vessel. They're always exploring all over the world and taking pictures, aren't they?
They are. And this ship is not any regular ship. It is an ice-rated ship.
Okay.
Earlier, we talked about how Antarctica has a lot of ice. Mm. And it's really deep.
Deep.
Yes.
How
or
deep thick. Is it? Well, it said it was very thick.
Almost a
It said it was 1.9 kilometers in thickness.
Can you imagine how deep
that
is?
So that is very deep.
Going
it gets,
down.
It gets very, very cold there, too. I think it gets down to minus 100 and something. You know, we talk about getting hot.
Yes.
Over 100. This just goes down
yes,
the other way.
Minus 89 Celsius, or in Fahrenheit, folks, that's minus 129 degrees.
I cannot imagine.
Minus 89 in Celsius.
Yes.
You know, if it's Lingdo,
Johanlung,
minus 89 would be terrible. So that's why that ice can stay there.
Right,
like
the coldest part of the Earth.
But luckily they have this ship that's able to cut through ice.
You have to, yeah. And how many passengers can go on that, Albert?
Around 148 passengers.
It has 81 cabins, mm-hmm. so that's quite a few people.
It really is. It's mm-hmm. a nice size group.
And the steel, the hull, is very thick and heavy, and it can cut through this frozen stuff, this ice. But still, it has to be small enough to go into these little bays and inlets, not just the big ocean, but you want to go inside and see other places so they can go ashore. So that's a very well-made boat called mm-hmm. the Explorer.
That's right. We have several of these ice-breaking ships in Canada, so I'm a little bit familiar with them.
Well, and they need them in these places
exactly,
like that.
In mm-hmm. places like that, and when we're in school, we study about them.
Right. And then they would also be large enough, though, so that when they get out on these very high, tempestuous, strong waves in this place called the Drake Passage. I think it was called from the Explorer Drake.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
And they go across there. There's a lot of waves. The boat's too small, might get tipped over. So it's got to be big enough, but not too big.
Yes, and that tempestuous word, it's just such a great word.
It is.
And it means relating to violent storm conditions.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there's some good vocabulary in here. We've talked about embarkation and treacherous. Remember, at the very first column over here in line 11, we said the world's most treacherous waters. So treacherous and tempestuous, wow, these are strong words, aren't
exactly.
they?
Exactly.
Right. So this Explorer, then, is quite well equipped. I was surprised. I didn't know that they called these things Zodiacs. Did you know that before?
Yes, because my friend has a boat that's called a Zodiac. His doesn't fit. It's not a 10-person Zodiac. His is about a 5- or 6-person Zodiac. And they're used a lot on Vancouver Island.
Well, why do they call them Zodiacs? Why don't you just call them, you know,
rubber boats or something, right? I don't know where they got
them. No, we call them motor boats.
Well, these Zodiacs are always made of big, big, huge rubber, and they're actually inflated, and they can hit rocks and hit sharp pieces of ice, and they never get destroyed.
Oh,
why
wow.
do we call them Zodiac? That's a strange
name. It's a strange name, and it says a small boat that is filled with air and is powered by a motor with a propeller, but they look totally different than a fishing boat or, you know, a motorboat.
Right.
And it's certain parts of the world, these are the best boats to use, just like the kayaks are. Here, kayaks are much better to use than canoes.
But so I think the Zodiacs, as we were talking about all the signs of the different, you know.
Yeah. And you know what I think of Zodiacs? When I went to school, guys wore Zodiac boots.
They did?
And they were like work boots. And that
I
was
never
the name
of
the brand.
We don't have those.
I have never heard of such
That's
boots.
That's a strange place, Canada.
They sound like nice boots, though.
You know what? Right. Jeff in our art department wears a pair, so we'll have to check
That's
his
great.
Out.
I can't go
but
ask him.
There's 3 dozen two-person kayaks. Now, do you want to go in a kayak, you better know how to do it, because they can tip over,
exactly.
too, if you're not careful.
And you know,
have you ever been in a kayak?
Yes, I certainly have quite a bit. And because of this, you have to be taught how to bring them back up to the surface. But the thing is, this water is so cold.
You freeze.
You don't want to spend 1 second in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, Doris. You have to be a very, very good kayak.
Kayaks are more like the Indian canoes that they have. Just two people in them, right? And you have
You have a one-person kayak, too. But in this case, they would be using a sea kayak that would have probably two people.
There's a little hole that you
little
get
holes,
in,
yeah.
sit down there, and you know, need to
And
paddle.
You're all covered up, and you wear special clothes.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a kayak?
I have. It is a lot of fun.
Do you like kayaking?
I do
that a lot on rivers, you know, to kayak on the different places. So, but I don't know if I'd want to do one down there. It'd be a little scary.
I don't know if I'd do it at all down there.
I have heard of people kayaking and being overturned and falling into the water. And the water is so cold that they instinctively reflex, they inhale the water and they drown themselves.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Well, don't scare them or they won't go down there.
I think folks stay on the Zodiac.
They're pretty safe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go on the Zodiac.
You have somebody in charge then.
But anyway, some people like to go in the kayaks and they get close enough to let the white continent, this beautiful place of Antarctica, do its magic. You're right out there in all this ice and it's kind of like strange world. It's like magic, isn't it?
Right. It is magic. And I think, Doris, for many people, it is magic because they know I will only be here once in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take everything in.
It's not like the real world though. There's no buildings and things like that. It's so different.
It's so different.
Well, let's see what about it. On the next 7 days, it took them 7 days. They went to all these places. You read the names and so forth. They went to Half Moon Island. And these sounds like names, you know, that the people that went to visit there gave them all these different names, named after people and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to all these different places. And finally, they went to Port Lockroy, which is the British outpost, with 3 year-round staffers. What is an outpost?
An outpost is some place where it really is what it says, out and a post. You are there, and it's the only place to go in and out of four supplies,
like an
and to receive supplies. It's like an outstation. And these, when you say about with 3 year-round staffers, they would be rotated. So maybe these three do spend a whole year there, or maybe 9 months. Then they bring somebody else in, maybe 9 months or 12 months.
It's kind of boring down there.
Yes, and
every
you know,
day and every night. Oh
and I
goodness.
Think you have three in case one has a fight, you still have two more to talk to. I don't know.
Well, you can always go out and see the penguins, make some friends with the penguins, right?
Mm-hmm.
But each morning, we'd get up by 7 o'clock, eat breakfast, and then you'd head for the Zodiacs or the kayaks, and you'd go on your outings. So you would go out from the ship and do these different things so you could explore. And it would be kind of an exciting trip for 7 days.
Exactly. And I think, too, you know, I'm looking at these 3 year-round staffers here who have this job. They probably look so forward to the time of year that these people can come on the big, huge, ice-breaking cruise ships and
right.
come in to see them.
Well, I'm sure. But I'm sure that they also learn how to, you know, see the beauty of nature and go around, and they don't just sit there in the outpost. They get around and see what's there.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, that's what we're talking about, this beautiful, interesting place. Now, so far, most of you will say, no night markets. I'm not going, you know. It's not an exciting place to go and see things, but it's exciting to see the power of nature at the bottom or top of the world, whichever way you
exactly.
look at it.
I feel like it's something to just experience because of it's so covered with ice that there's a lack of human, and as such, there's a lack of noise and pollution, a lack of smell. It's just empty.
So beautiful and pristine down
yes.
there.
Yes.
Well, I think it would be very exciting when you see some of the things that we're going to talk about tomorrow, when you see the penguins coming around and hundreds and thousands of them. And there's life down there, and life makes it interesting, too.
Exactly. And I think if you're a young adult or maybe approaching middle age or whatever, this is a nice change for sure from what you always do for vacation. This is totally different.
That's true.
And I'm one of these people that actually doesn't really like shopping very much on vacation, so I think I'd really enjoy this.
Well, I think a lot of people would find if they would look at it, the magic would get to them. So we'll try to bring the magic to you as you listen in again, and we finish this article tomorrow. So be sure and put on some warm clothes and get ready, because tomorrow we're going back to this ice-cold place, and we'll finish the article about pristine and powerful Antarctica. So will you be there with us?
I will.
I sure will, too.
We'll see you all tomorrow. You sure and be there, too.
Okay.
So have a good day today. Goodbye for now.
Bye.